running the board meeting tonight. Our streaming team has got the night off, so that's a good thing. I would like to, I don't know if Kevin is in the room before we... Kevin is in the room. What I'd like to do is allow Kevin to come up from the hotel and make a brief announcement, just a little bit of an explanation. Frankly, I have enjoyed the service that we've had since we've been here. So let's give a quick applause to this wonderful hotel. Aren't you glad to be back here? Yes. Yes. So Kevin has a cordless mic, and he's going to make a little bit of an announcement. So if you can give him your undivided attention, please. And before I give it over to Kevin, I would like everybody to turn off your cell phones. And or if they start to vibrate, do not answer them when you are in the meeting room, because guess what? Everyone can hear you talking, and some folks are trying to listen to the sessions. So put your cell phones on vibrate or turn them off, but please don't answer them here in the meeting room. Thank you. Kevin.
Thank you. I am Kevin Robinson. I am the food and beverage manager here at the hotel. I've had the opportunity to meet some of you so far in the restaurant or in the bar. Thank you and welcome. We had a conversation yesterday in the pre-conference meeting with your leaders, and as you can imagine, there was a lot of discussion about the food. It's always funny to have these meetings because this group is very particular about the way the tables and chairs are laid out, but most of the meeting was about the food and the menu, and so... some of you may have noticed that in the restaurant, the menus that you're seeing, the large print menus and the Braille menus, have the breakfast, lunch, and dinner menus included in that. We also have for lunch an express lunch menu. And the reason for that is anytime we anticipate more than 25 people walking into the restaurant on time, that is the restaurant, that's the menu that we offer, because many of you are trying to eat and get back to another meeting. And so if the lunch menu is 25 or 30 menu options, it can take quite a while for us to produce the food for you so that you can get back out. So we do offer the express lunch menu. It gets you in and out quickly and back to your meetings. So I just wanted to explain why we would tease you by showing you all of these things available on the lunch menu and then not let you order them. So I wanted to explain that.
Hold
exactly.
On. Okay, go ahead.
No, that's quite all right. So I appreciate it. It's just a matter of getting the food out quickly so that you can enjoy your meal and not be worried about being able to get back out of the restaurant and to the next meeting. So...
And what I would share with you again and reiterate, this menu is given to everyone, whether they're with our group or not.
Right.
You know, as was stated,
right.
Everyone in the hotel that comes into the restaurant would get that menu whenever they offer it. So
right.
Just to reiterate that.
Thank you very much. Again, my name is Kevin Robinson. I am the food and beverage manager. If there are any concerns that you have about the food and beverage or the service, please don't hesitate to ask for me by name, and I'll be happy to help you. Thank you so very much for coming to the Hilton Sacramento, and we look forward to hosting you for a wonderful event. Thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, I should have, we should have had to have Kevin draw when he comes in for the next session, but we're only doing one door prize for the board meeting. Yes. I don't know. Maybe I might do one at the very end. I haven't decided. Or maybe even in the middle. I don't know. And it might be cash, too. So, okay. Roger, I heard Roger saying something about my fudge. So, okay. Peter wanted to make a quick announcement. So go ahead, Peter.
Thank you, Donna. Okay. Basically, we still have all the lunch and dinner meals available for Friday and Saturday. And the lunch plated lunches are $32. $33. And $38 for on-site for the dinners. So if you're interested, and I encourage you to patronize our plated meals, it does help our food and beverage minimum. And so please see the CCB registration desk. They'll be open from 8 to 5 tomorrow. Oh, 9 to 5, excuse me. And 9 to 5 on Saturday. I mean, 9 to 4 on Saturday. So again, please, if you're interested in purchasing a plated meal, go to the CCB registration desk. Thank you.
Just to let folks know, again, if you're interested in attending the President's Dinner, it is not only for presidents. Anyone is welcome. And you can consult your program. We'll be having just informal discussions about things related to moving toward one conference and convention, which will begin next year in 2014. So everyone is welcome to that, whether you're a president, a leader in your chapter, or not. So if we can go ahead and officially call the meeting of the Board of Directors to order for our spring 2013 convention, and I can have, if I can give the meeting over to our secretary, Gabe Griffith. For the roll call. Okay, Gabe's mic isn't on yet. Do you have a mic? He knew I was going to give it to Gabe. Gee, I missed
okay,
that.
Okay, am I on now?
You're on.
Okay. Do you want me to call the roll now?
Please do.
Okay. President Donna Pomerantz.
Here.
First Vice President Gene Lozano.
Here.
Second Vice President Roger Peterson.
Here.
Secretary Gabe Griffith, apparently here. Treasurer Peter Pardini.
Here.
Immediate Past President Jeff Tom.
Present.
Oh, everybody else is here, but Jeff is present. And board members, starting with Artis Bazin.
Present.
Vince Calderon.
Here.
He's here. Lena Dawes.
Here.
David Hanlon. David Hanlon, not here. David Jackson.
Here.
Linda Perrell.
Present and accounted for.
Both.
She had the one up.
Eric Smiley.
Here.
Robert Wendt.
Yes,
he
did.
We just don't know where.
That was so funny.
Judy Wilkinson.
Here.
And I don't believe I missed anybody, so we have all but one person present and accounted for and here. Madam President, that concludes the rolling of the call.
The rolling of the call. Oh. This is going to be fun tonight. And guess what? Our banquet is going to be equally fun. Just like this, so. All righty. If I can please have you read the agenda, because that's the next item on our agenda, reading of the agenda.
Did you want me to read it?
I would love for you to read it.
Okay. Oh, I would have had to pay attention. Okay, so April 11, 2013, meeting of the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind. Item number one, call to order. Number two, roll call. Three, reading and review of the agenda. Number four, public comment. Number five, approval of minutes, Gabe Griffith. Items including November 1, 2012, December 3, 2012, January 22, 2013. Number six, Mutt Strutt Report, Gita Jackson, statewide coordinator, participation by phone, Peter Pardini, Donna Pomerantz, and more people on the next page.
And if you could be a little bit louder, please.
Okay. Is that better? Yeah.
Much better. I'd want to hear you better, but.
Words you will never hear Donna say. Gabe, louder. Okay. Number seven is Treasurer's Report. Fiscal year 2012, Peter Pardini. Item A, account balance report as of February 28, 2013. B, balance sheet as of March 31, 2013. C, income statement for the period January 1 to March 31, 2013. Item 8, fiscal year 2013 proposed budget. Vincent Calderon, Chair, Finance and Budget Committee. Number nine, convention report item. A, registration for the fall. Registration for the fall. B, event conflicts. C,
Southern California in the spring.
I was trying to figure out the abbreviation. Okay, Southern California in spring 2015. Number 10 is Publications Committee Report. Chair, Linda Perel. 11, Technical Operations Group Report. Chair, Vita Zavali. 12, report on Newell Perry Trust Fund. 13, ratify March 25th, 2013, vote by email regarding purchase recommendations from Hearing Impaired Committee. 14, report on Ellen Murphy Trust Fund. 15, public comment. 16, adjourn.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome.
And there was a call, and Jeff are chuckling over there.
And there was a call for the floor from Gene.
No, he said, oh, adjourn.
Uh-huh. Gene seeks the floor?
Yes.
Can someone pass him a microphone, please?
Is there a mic down that way? No.
Gene does? We need to separate Jeff and Artis. Oh, you know what? Actually, I think we need to separate Jeff from everybody else because he always because at every board meeting I always hear whoever's around him laughing and chuckling. Well, you're too far. Don't you notice we have you on opposite ends of the table this time?
Yeah. And she put me next to her.
That's right. Gene, do you have a mic?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I wish to know if I was prepared to report on the two items you have on the list, but in some other things related. Will that be permissible?
Yes, because it's all under the convention, under the convention heading, correct?
Yes.
It's all along those lines.
It's
yes.
all related.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely. Anything else? I was actually asked by two folks if we could have an item added to the agenda, and it would be brief, but an update regarding the strategic plan. And just letting you know where we're at now when it comes to that. So I'd like to add that to the agenda. It's been requested. So, okay. Where now? After the adjournment. Basically, it's a report letting you know it's not buried and we're doing it, and it'll be 5 to 10 minutes unless board members have questions. So we will put that, where can we add that? Why don't we add that after our treasurer's reports? Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda as read and amended?
Second.
Okay, Vince motioned, Artis second. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Great. Motion carries. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is public comment. And I would like to know if anyone from the public has anything that they'd wish to comment on. Any public comment at this time? And if we can have someone get a microphone.
No hands?
Any hands?
I don't see any hands.
Or any standing folks or anything? No? I know, I thought I heard someone say. All righty. Okay. On that note, we will go to item number 5, which is approval of the minutes, Gabe Griffith. And that will be...
Madam President?
Artis?
Is there a mic here?
Here you go. I want to make a motion to accept the November minutes and the January minutes. There was just a minor spelling thing in November, but nothing of consequence. I'd like to motion for those two sets. The other set, the December set, all I got was an agenda. So I don't want to move to accept that one.
Second.
Okay. Jeff seconds. Any discussion?
Madam President.
Judy.
Right here, Judy.
In the report of income in the minutes, the report in the minutes, the budget, the item for the Muttstrut said that the proposed amount we hope to get was $4,700. I think we need to have another zero there.
Yeah.
So as amended. Okay. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. So our secretary will get the December minutes to the board to be approved at our next meeting. Item number 6. Jeff? There he goes again. Jeff, you want more carrot cake?
I didn't understand what Artis said.
Okay. All right. Item number 6 is the Muttstrut report. And while whoever it is working on bringing her in really quick, I would just like to share with the group that the board elected to hire a statewide coordinator for the Mutt Strut 2013 on contract. And the board also approved three regions to do a Mutt Strut 2013. And those regions that the board selected were Sacramento. Where is that anyway? We're here. Sacramento, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. So that will be the three regions. I was looking at number four here. That will be the three regions where we will be holding a Mutt Strut, and it will be on September 7th this year in all three places. And you guys can let me know once you've brought Gita Jackson aboard. And at that point, I will stop sharing. So then everybody says, please, please, hurry. Get her on the phone. chair of the Sacramento region is our own Jeff Tom. And his vice chair is Paul Patchy, Jr. Chair of the San Francisco region is Frank Welty, and his vice chair is Lisa Gordon Cushman. Chair of the Los Angeles region is Ken Metz, and his vice chair is Lynn Coates. All venues have their parks chosen, and it sounds like each park is a very, very wonderful location. And folks are planning their program. It sounds like it is going to be a wonderful, wonderful day, no matter which region you go to. And we have the information on our website as well. And you will be seeing announcements coming out in the connection. Coming out in the connection. And, you know, so definitely stay tuned for everything Mutt Strut in the connection. I'm not sure if you have Miss Gita Jackson on the line yet. Okay. Thank you. I'm very, very excited at watching these three regions grow the event even stronger at each region. And it's so interesting because at the state level, there are certain key points that are, you know, that they all share, like, you know, the registration price and the day and the time frames, you know, different key components like that are shared. But it's so interesting to me as I come on to some of the calls that they have. And right now, for the most part, all regions are having conference calls every week to start to work this out and plan it. And it's very exciting to me to kind of see how they're growing each in their individual character. Okay. So what I'd like to do is what I'd like to do is have Miss Gita Jackson by voice introduce herself and share a little bit about the reports that she put out. Gita, are you there? Gita?
Hello.
Perfect. We can hear you just fine.
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Gita? Hi, Gita.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Gita, hi. We can hear you just fine. There was this little button thingy. I have a piece of technology that I know not how to use, but a lot of people in this room know how to use it, except for me.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't hang up.
No. You are you're here at our board meeting, and we have a number of people in the audience that have been waiting to hear from you. So please share a little bit about yourself and about the Mutt Strut with all of us.
Absolutely. We'd be glad to. Hi, everybody. I'm just, Donna wanted me to give you a few little insights. I basically have worked in a variety of areas my whole life. I've worked with the airlines. I've worked in travel. I've worked with nonprofits. I worked in entertainment. And about 3 years ago, I was laid off. And then I just volunteered for the most part. And I discovered someone who was the president of the Ovarian Cancer Coalition, and I volunteered for her for about a year and a half. So I was at a network luncheon, and Arda Bazin, who is a doll, referred me to Donna. And when I called Donna, we hit it off right away. And she told me about this amazing thing called the Mutt Strut. And so, and fortunately I was hot, and I'm thrilled to be here. And I know you all are busy, so I don't want to take too much time. But I started in December, and we've been working with getting the venues, getting the timing companies, and that's very, very difficult, actually. We've had a few bumps on the road, but the members have been unbelievable. The chairs and their committee members, we are 100%, the venue is completely selected. The timing companies are selected, and we're in the process of completing the contracts within the next couple of weeks. And we've also gotten, and hopefully you were able to see them, we have our brochures and our flyer completed, and they look great. I took them to a committee luncheon the other day, and everybody hooted and hawed. So we got those done, and we're currently working, or at least the committees are working now to complete the press kits and the PSAs, and I currently sent out all that information onto the serving list, and so everybody will be able to look at them, approve them, comment on them, and then have them back to me by April the 19th. It's also very exciting because I also have a sponsor letter out there for a statewide sponsorship. We also handled sponsor levels, so that's kind of fun because we have some great levels with great names, Great Dane, the Poodles. So it's a lot of fun, and hopefully it'll get us out there and get the funding that we need. Also, each committee member can take that sponsor letter and tweak it the way that they see fit for their particular organization. So as I mentioned, it's been really incredible to work with everybody, because we're way ahead of the game. So now we have time to focus on vendors, the food that we're going to offer, entertainment. One of our regions is planning a pancake breakfast. And everybody is so very excited. And one of the issues that I'm trying to do is to get a super prize, so to speak, for a super raffle. This would be separate from the raffles that we do locally. And I'm hoping to get a couple of airline tickets, and I'm actually going to send a letter of a referral to Carnival Cruises and Princess Cruises, because I figured I'm not going to stop at two or three. I feel like I'm going to keep on going until we get it right. So that is pretty much where we're at right now. We're all heading to get people to acknowledge us, to know who we are, and to make the Mudstrut a huge event in the coming years. And this year we have timing companies that everybody seems to be very excited about. They're very knowledgeable. They answer our questions right away. But, you know, these people are away during the weekend because they have their races and such. But we've been very, very lucky this year, and everybody that's been working with us has been very supportive. And so that's pretty much where we are. I'm also excited to bring up a possible affiliation with Audible Books. I met somebody the other night, and we're going to get together next week, and she's going to download a bunch of authors and publishing companies. So hopefully we can get kickbacks if we can sell Audible books a lot. And that's pretty much where we are. And I know that I would love to get any participant from the board that we possibly can. And, you know, if the board have any leads for a statewide sponsorship, please share those with me. And I'm very, very excited to be here, and I thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Gita. Before we let Gita go, I do want to share with everyone in the room that one of the things that the group has decided to do for this year, on the flyers, each region has its own local flyer, and what the group decided to do was on the right side of the flyer, there's like a little picture frame, and inside the picture frame is a picture of the park, the venue where the event's going to be held. And on the left side of the flyer is another picture frame, and it has a picture of the previous year's top dog.
Yay.
The top fundraising dog is on there. And so in Sacramento, the previous top dog was Tahoe, and folks here in Sacramento know Tahoe. In the San Francisco region's top dog is Avalon.
Hey, hey.
Everyone knows Avalon. And in the Los Angeles region, and that's very special to Mitch and myself personally, the top dog in Los Angeles was Scotch.
Oh.
That's right.
So that's very special. We we have his puppy picture on there, and all of those flyers look absolutely wonderful. And what I would encourage folks to do is, one of the great benefits is any dog can be the top dog on the 2014 Mudstrut Flyer in your region. So that was a wonderful idea that came out of the committee, and I'm glad we were able to implement it. So, Gita, I don't know if there's anything else you wish to say or if board members have any questions.
I think that I just summarized everything.
Yep.
And but I'm willing to answer any questions.
Any board members have any questions?
I have a question.
Peter has a question.
Basically, okay. If anybody's interested in helping out with the Mudstrut and getting flyers, Mudstrut brochures, and this year we have donation envelopes, which will aid in getting additional donations for the Mudstrut. Who should they contact?
So, Gita, if people want brochures to make donations, anything like that, who should people contact to get brochures and donation envelopes and such?
Well, they can contact each individual chair, region chair, and we also have some leftovers at the main office. So we're trying to keep, like, for example, we have 200 flyers for San Francisco with Sacramento, and we have 100 flyers for Los Angeles, because I took 100. And then we have 2,000 brochures with envelopes also in the main office. So we can get them to you. You can go anywhere, any of those four, and we'll be glad to send them out to you.
Okay, thank you. I just have to say, Gita doesn't take no for an answer. if she doesn't hear, you know, from somebody, and again, this was like what happened with the timing companies, you know, she says, did you email? Did you call? Let's email. Let's call. You know, Gita is great at not taking no for an answer, so I like that.
I'm learning from the best.
So, well, on that note, Gita, thank you so very much, and I'm glad folks were able to hear you this evening. Thank you for all the work that you're doing.
Absolutely.
With all of our committees and chairs,
yep.
And, you know, I'd just like to wish you a good evening, and thank you for
thank
being
you
on with us tonight.
Thank you so much. I appreciate everybody listening.
Thank
we'll
you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Linda seeks the floor.
Madam President, I'd like to make a motion that we figure out a way to make it possible for Gita Jackson to attend the fall convention and celebrate the success of Mudstrut with us.
Second.
And I heard, did I hear a second?
Yes.
Okay, Lena seconded. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Oh, that'll be great. So you'll all get to meet her in person at the fall convention. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the treasurer's report. No, wait, yes, yep. Treasurer's report. Gabe, you have to remember, I put my agenda item after the treasurer's report. That's right. So on that note, I will give it over to our treasurer, Peter Pardini.
Yes.
No, I got to stand here for it. I'm going to begin with the treasurer's report for the period January 1st to December 31st, 2012, and I'm going to read the summary totals. If anybody's interested in copies of these reports, they can contact the CCB office. Basically, for income, period ending December 31st, we had projected income in this is the budgetary income in the amount of $278,389. For the same period, we received $220,692, and the difference is $54,696 for expenses. The budgeted expense amount was $278,389. The amount we actually expended was $208,400. The difference is $69,988. And for basically, in the same period, we have, for our investment accounts, we had additional income in the amount of $82,194, and our net income for the whole period, if you add the two together, would be $97,486. And that concludes the treasurer's report for the period. Are there any questions regarding the treasurer's report? If none, I can move on to my next document.
Hearing none, go ahead and move on. Thank you.
And basically, in the board packet is the report on CDs, brokerage, and checking accounts as of February 28, 2013. I'm not going to read anything in this document at this time. The next document that I'll read at a summary level is the balance sheet as of March 31st, 2013. For the period, we had total assets in the amount of $1,093,089. Total liabilities is $57.41.
Mr. Treasurer, what I'm gonna ask at some point that you also give the number of, you know, from that income, I mean, from those assets, that you give the dollar amount of what is restricted. What are the restricted funds? In other words, we're only able to use certain monies for specific things.
Right, so, I can do that.
Yeah, so if you'll give that number before you conclude, too. Thank you.
Perfect timing, Donna. The total unrestricted is $625,228. The board designated funds, which include the CEA loan fund and the life membership fund and the crisis assistance fund, is $21,834. our temporary restricted funds. Are in the amount of $419,154. And our permanently restricted funds are in the amount of $128,000, leaving a total liabilities and equity in the amount of $1,093.89. I mean, $1,093,089. And that concludes the balance sheet for the period ending March 31st, 2013. Now I'll move on to the statement of income and expenses for the period January 1st to March 31st, 2013. We had total income for the period in the amount of $38,783. For the same period, our total expenses were $42,484, leaving a net ordinary income in a negative in the amount of $3,701. During the same period, we had other income in the amount of $16,977, leaving it, if you had the two figures, the two, the ordinary income plus the non-operating fund income for the period, the amount is $13,276. And are there any questions regarding the income statement?
I have a question, Judy Wilkinson.
Okay. So, Peter, that means that in this three-month period, for the moment, we have $13,000 more than we spent. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is, Judy, if you include the income from our investment accounts. Thank God the stock market has been doing very well. But this really, I mean, it's not a whole lot of money. We really need, because we tend to get most of our income during the first half of the year. And again, everyone needs to really get behind our major fundraising effort in 2013, which is going to be the mud strut. So please talk to your neighbors, your friends, anybody. You need to kind of reach out and talk to anybody you can to help CCP. We really need the funds.
Does anyone?
Madam President, I move that we accept the Treasurer's Report.
Second. Okay, Judy moves we accept. Artis seconds. Do we have any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. The next item on the agenda was just a quick brief update related to the strategic plan. CCB will be participating in the exercise of a strategic plan. The board moved that go forward. The company that will be doing this is Don Wells Consulting, and they will be starting their work on looking at our finances, having discussions, surveying our stakeholders, talking to myself, talking to Ed, talking to all of our officers and board, and other members, as well as folks who are partners with us. Quite a bit of work will be done beginning on the 20th, because we begged him to wait until after our conference and convention. So I already have an appointment to meet with him, not next week, but the week after, by phone. And we will be concluding it with an in-person retreat where the board will all get together in person with Don and with Ed. Ed will also be there. And we will be doing this June 8th. When our strategic plan is completed, we will share that with anyone who is interested. And at this point, that's where we're at. In relation to the strategic plan, we are moving forward. We are going to do it. And I think that it will be very, very good for CCB to do this so that we could, with assuredness, continue to move forward in our future and the road that we need to travel. Are there any questions from board members? Great. We still do not have a location yet. Hopefully, I'll have some good news to share within the next coming weeks as to where we'll all be getting together to do this. And I think that within the next few weeks, we'll have that location. So thank you very much. Okay. The next item on the agenda. Thank you. I was just hunting for that. A report from our Finance and Budget Committee Chair, Vince Calderon. He was the one who worked with Peter and kept all of us cats in line at our Finance and Budget Committee meeting. So I'd like to go ahead and give the microphone over to Vince Calderon. Vince.
Okay, they found me a mic. Okay, the Budget and Finance Committee met on March the 2nd at the CCB office. Those present were Peter Pardini, Rex Ransom, Kevin Berkery, Jeff Tom, Donna Pomerantz, Ed Branch, and myself. And by telephone were Charles Navarrete, okay, and Charles Doris. So that was the committee. You heard the treasurer's report for the year 2012, and that's basically what the budget is built from. It's the blueprint, and it has to try and paint a picture of what money we're going to propose to take in, the money we propose to spend, and the difference. So, do you want a summary of the basics of, you know, income versus expenses budgeted, or would you like to go over them all one by one and force me to read Braille? I can give you some highlights from each one as, you know, some of the basics. One of the big items in the income is the mud strut. And what is proposed with all the regions based on their proposals for the money they propose to take in. Can you hear me better now? Because I keep leaving the microphone. The total money proposed to take in from the mud strut is $63,000. So we hope for more, much more, so we go out and do it the best we can. The expense budgeted for the mud strut is $43,000. So, and that, like I said, that's a total of all three regions. So it's not taking one region at, you know, specifically, we put them all together. So the bottom line and the highlight is that the proposed income for this year was estimated to be $194,000. The expenses budgeted a total of $302,470. The difference is $108,470. Sure. Do you want both? Oh, the difference is $108,470. Another highlight from the income and expense is convention. We budgeted to receive $30,000 for convention, and the expense budgeted was $50,000. So conventions are right now are a losing proposition. So going to one convention, well, it will help. It's not the answer. Doing better on the mud strut will help. It's not the total answer either. So, but that is what we came up with. We tossed around an idea or two of trying to make this budget almost balanced by transferring some money over. It was decided against that. I felt it was a better picture to paint to show you what is really happening rather than to say it looks good and say it looks good to be balanced, but when you look behind the numbers, you see a big hole. And for this budget, the big hole is at $108,000. So anyway, that is the highlights, and those are the totals for the budget. And Madam President, Chair, that is my report.
Thank you very much. For all of your work, presiding over this work. And Peter, thank you very much for all your work in supporting Vince and what he needed to do. Do we have any kind of a motion on the floor?
Donna?
Yes.
I move that we accept the proposed budget.
Do we have a second?
Second.
No.
Second.
Nobody wants to. Yeah, Judy and Lena and a third person seconded. Do we have any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Okay. And I went to another document, so I don't have my agenda in front of me. If someone... Publications Committee report. Thank you, Judy. Okay, convention report. That's all right. Okay. Jeff wants to ask a question. Yeah.
It's budget related. It's not.
Oh, well, that.
Yeah.
Could
thank
have,
you.
Should have would have been during.
It does, no, it doesn't affect the vote.
It doesn't affect. Okay.
No. But when we were in committee, there was a question about one of the contracts.
Ah, yes.
Did that get dealt? Can you amplify and dealt with?
It did, and we are receiving revenue from that contract now. That has been dealt with. The name change of that entity has gone through, and we are receiving revenue from it. And it's actually looking, I believe, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but I believe that they, it looks as if they're kind of making up for January and February and such. So we'll definitely look to be receiving revenue from that soon. Peter.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Continued revenue. And there was an issue, the issue that you had mentioned related to less revenue from that contract was as a result of the issues while the name change was taking place and just administrative stuff and that logistics. But I've been told that, you know, everything's been completed and all looks well. So I frankly am looking toward a good year of, you know, of the revenue from that contract. Peter, I don't know if you have anything else to say on that.
Regarding that, I think the first check we received from that contract was the amount of $1,000, if I recall correctly.
I thought we had, yeah. Yeah, but we did, I believe, receive another one as well.
Yeah.
So I need to check that out, yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Did I hear a question? No, okay. So the next item on the agenda is the conference and convention. And before I give it over to Jean, I want to thank everybody who participated in our first conference call last week. I would encourage all of you to watch the connection, call on the phone, subscribe to the connection listserv, look on the website every week. You have three ways to access it. And I would encourage folks to keep up with the connection on a weekly basis, especially, you know, since we're doing the work of moving toward one convention, sometimes we may need to put, you know, some announcements for calls and things like that in there because we may have, you know, a 2-week or 3-week notice and might not be able to get it into our Blind Californian. So I would say the connection is also the best way to keep up on news. We had around 30 people on that first call, which was great. What I'm saying is 17 to 20 solid participants. The reason I'm not saying the full 30 is because some folks stayed on for a half an hour and such, but that 17 to 20 stayed on for the full 2 hours. So that was a very encouraging call to me. We had a great meeting. And I would encourage all of you to watch the connection so that we can, you know, we're going to be having more calls and such. So I'd like to give it over to Jean, our conference and convention chair. Jean?
Are we on? Okay.
You are.
Okay, thank you. After the last conference and convention in Del Mar, President Pomerantz established a transition committee, and that had two subparts, but the committee was made up some members, appointed members from the Constitution and Bylaws Committee and the Conference and Convention Committee. You will hear this Saturday afternoon a report from the subpart that had to do with changes to do with constitution and bylaws. The other part, which was to do with somewhat the structure, proposed structure of going to an annual conference and convention, and the members of that subcommittee are Donna Pomerantz, Roger Peterson, Jeff Tom, Peter Pardini, and myself. I don't believe I'm missing anyone. No. Just the convention component. We are still, and I stress, still developing some recommendations that will be presented formally to the board in the fall. This evening, I'm going to give you a few of the items that we've been talking about, including three action items for the board to address this evening. But the recommendations that I wish to stress to the board, but as well as the members of the CCB, that there will be opportunities throughout the summer by conference call and perhaps other means to have an opportunity to comment on preliminary recommendations. And this is just the first one, and we did bounce off some of these ideas the last conference call, as President Pomerantz mentioned, and took to heart some of the feedback we got. Now, this is not set in concrete, but just start with this, and I will identify as I go through what are the three action items that we will need to come back and address, hopefully, this evening. The first recommendation that we are looking at is the length of a conference and convention. The subcommittee is feeling that we should stick with the 4 days, Thursday through Sunday, giving a reasonable period of time, approximately maybe 3 years, for the board to revisit and look at whether there is a need to extend the length of the convention, reduce it, the length, or maintain what we have. There were people on the call who were proposing that the conference and convention be extended to start on Wednesday and concluding on Sunday. There were a few individuals afterwards. We got feedback, not as many as those who wanted additional day added, but who were proposing shortening the length of the conference and convention. And I'm not saying that whether there's a right or wrong to that, but this is something we're looking at, and there'll be opportunity for people to respond to this, but we do want to make people aware of that. The second one was the time of the year to have the annual conference and convention. And this is one that we had quite a lengthy discussion. Well, all the items, but this particularly. And it was the feeling of the subcommittee that the annual conference and convention should take place during the first half of the year. That would be January through June, preferably the months of March through May, as long as whatever date is chosen does not conflict with any religious holidays. And it has been tradition that we've had the spring conference and convention sometime during March through May. But we did not want to limit it or recommend it being limited to those months exclusively in case there was an opportunity to go to have a convention site where we could get a good deal on the price of the hotel, guest rooms, and food and beverage minimum, etc. This is something that that we would like to ask the board to take some position on, because we have a contract for spring 2014 here at this hotel, but we do not have a fall 2014 conference and convention site or any other contracts. So we will need then to start working on an annual conference and convention for 2015 and 2016 down the road. So our recommendation is, and we did get feedback from people that they felt that during the first part of the year was preferable the latter part of the year. Okay, and we'll come back to this. Then there was the third item was having that the annual conference and convention alternate between Northern and Southern California. So what would be proposed would be, since we do have a 2014, we have a contract at this hotel, that 2015 we'd be looking at Southern California. And then the following year, 2016, would be Northern, and so forth, alternating there. What has been, the question has been, I've been asked, how do you define Northern California and how do you define Southern California? Hmm. Because we do not recognize, for our needs for convention sites, at least for the last 10 years, recognize, quote, a Central California. We've divided the state so that, and this has been the practice, that the southern end of Northern California includes the cities of Fresno and San Luis Obispo, going north all the way to the Oregon border. South of Bakersfield, this for Southern California, is Bakersfield, Santa Barbara, all the way down to the Mexican border. There is nothing between those borders or those boundaries there. And this is the way that we have been generally soliciting bids for the last approximately 10 years. And I believe it's been longer than that. This does not exclude any community, you know, as far north as Eureka or San Diego to participate or anything in the Central California. So no community is excluded. Just we have to have some arbitrary boundary. And this is something we need to, again, the board needs to make a decision to give guidance to the convention organizers and conference director who we work with to go out and start soliciting bids. I'm changing paper. The other thing that we are recommending and would like the board to take action on is increasing convention registration fees, which are $15 at this time. What is being recommended is increasing the registration fees start fall 2013 to $20 and this is regardless of your purpose for attending. We know that some people are coming to the convention just to go to the exhibits and that's it, and that's been fine. Well, this is something the committee felt that everyone, with some exceptions, which I'm going to come to it, have to pay the registration fee. With the following exceptions, and if you just give me a second, I lost my place. Okay. These are groups or individuals who would not have to pay the registration fee. And this is generally in practice right now. it would be invited guests and or speakers. Two would be exhibitors. Three, volunteers working, helping us out. One that new category would be if there are formal K through 12 classes coming that would like to come to our conference and convention to expose these students, that the teachers, the teachers' aides, parents with this group, and the children would not have to pay any registration fee at all. This would be trying to encourage more exposure to the organization and allowing people to participate. Also, if there was, it was felt that if a parent came with a child that would be a minor under 18 or K through 12, that the parent would pay the registration fee, but the child would not have to pay a fee. And then there was a category of, and this is an exception, would be if and I guess this would not be exception, but it would be somebody would have to pay. If a child came by themselves, the K through 12, they'd have to pay the registration fee just if they're going to exhibits like anyone else. One thing our group did not touch upon, but some people have spoken to me about, and we don't have to decide everything this evening, but is that sometimes we have people who come that are disabled and must have a personal care attendant with them. And it's felt that the disabled person should pay the registration fee, but the personal care attendant should not. Now, that's something the group has not discussed, and I'm not proposing it, but I'm just throwing it out there. And this is something that we would like to see that the board take some action on this evening regarding increasing the fees, registration fees, with exceptions starting for this fall. Now, I'm going to touch upon some things that I stress are just recommendations. Nothing's being proposed. We had played around with various scenarios that of what times and days that maybe some of our activities, business sessions, board of directors meetings, and credentials, exhibits, when they should meet. And we came up with two scenarios, and then after the exhibit and after our call, there was some discussion, and it was felt that maybe we needed to try to focus on one scenario that then it would be easier for people to comment and make suggestions than trying to offer multiple options, which during the call, we all started getting a little confused hearing the various options. I'm going to throw out, now this is just a partial thing to give you an idea of some of the things we're looking at, and we did consult with some of the committee chairs, and this is just for consideration. Starting, assuming that we, Thursday through Sunday, that we would have on Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to noon, having the Rehabilitation Committee meeting. At noon to 4 p.m., the CCB Board of Directors would meet. This would be a plated meal service for board members that and anybody who wished that would attend that wanted to have a meal, they would pay. This would be one way of addressing the need of people starting at the noon hour, but also help us in one way of meeting our food and beverage minimum by having another plated meal there that everyone, including board members, would be paying. Then the welcome to whatever city it is, party, that being from go on from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Thursday. And the technology committee on Thursday, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. or 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And again, we've consulted and got input from the chairs of these committees. On Friday would be the start of exhibits. Exhibits would go from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. They would be at 4:30 would be closed. No more sales or anything. And from 4:30 to 4:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. That would give opportunity for the vendors to package, box up everything, so that it's secured, so that they have half an hour to clean up and have everything there. So then security can come in and oversee their belongings and things, products that they have there. Then, let's see, 4:30. I'm still talking. Let me just finish about exhibits. I'm going to jump ahead. On Saturday, exhibits would open at 9 a.m. and to go to 2 p.m. Several reasons were that some of the vendors start leaving around that time. Two is we're having, proposing still having in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon, and I will come back more specific, a general session at that time. So there was seemed to be a variety of reasons, and this is something our chair felt that this was something that would work. Okay, credentials. Proposing that the credentials meet on Friday morning, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., and this would be only for the representatives of the committees, affiliates, chapters, that there is some lacking, some deficiency in their report to clear up those matters. The reps would be notified prior to the conference and convention, asking them to be to meet during this time period. The credential committee official report would be given on Friday evening. And we're proposing generally the rest of the day during the daytime, maintaining the same structure we have for programming of special interests, groups, the chapters, committees, and so forth to meet in the morning, and then having the general session, first general session in the afternoon, and then Friday evening having a second general session with the, again, the credentials report, and this is seating, doing the seating of the groups, officially seating them. Second general session would be concluding somewhere between 9:30 and 10 p.m., preferably 9:30, so that at 10 p.m., the nominating committee would meet. Now, on Saturday, it would be we would follow the same general programming, except the third general session at 1:30 p.m. to 2:45 p.m., there would be the elections for offices. At 2:45 to 4 p.m. would be programming. It would be speakers like we have right now. Then you would still have all your committees, you know, meeting after the general sessions, and in this case on Saturday, you'd have the banquet. You would have the on Sunday morning, the devotional group meeting at 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. And then starting at 8:30 a.m. to noon would be the Sunday business session, concluding at noon. This is what we're looking at, and it'll be opportunity to flush this out and talk more about that. That's just a summary, and again, the three action items we have, I believe, this evening to address that can help give us some direction for planning for future conferences and conventions starting 2015 would be one, deciding on the time of the year to have the conference and convention, the recommendation is that it be the first half of the year, January through June, that time window, and the proposal being brought back to the board for a decision to be made on bids. The second one is alternating the location of conference and conventions, alternating northern, southern. And this was not at the exclusion of a Capitol Day. That is something, regardless whether it's northern or southern, it's felt that we must have a Capitol Day. If it's in Southern California, then that would be a separate day from the conference and convention. But that's something we'd have to be talked more about. And the third action item would be increasing the registration, the convention conference registration fees from $15 to $20 starting the fall 2013 conference and convention. And we have some exceptions to people or groups that would not have to pay the registration fee starting in the fall. And that's the report, Madam President.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the board? I heard Peter go, and then Artis went, second.
And then I had one, too.
I was wondering if you wanted a motion to encompass all three, or if you'd rather have three separate motions.
My preference is to do them individually. However, your will shall be done. So,
How about the first two going together? You know, this having
however you wish to do it.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion that we have the one convention a year in the spring, and then we alternate between Northern and Southern California. So that would cover two of them. First 6 months.
Okay. Artist motion. Lena seconded. Do we have any discussion?
Call for the question.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Then I'll make a second motion.
Judy has a question before Artis's motion.
Jean, number 9B says event conflict. I'm not quite sure where that fits into what you said or what you want us to do.
We haven't discussed that one yet.
Okay, so that's coming up? That's separate?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'll make another motion that we increase the registration fee from $15 to $20.
Okay, do we have a second?
Yes,
Lena seconded. Okay, any discussion?
Yeah, I want to amend the motion, if I could, or friendly amendment.
We'll see if it's friendly. Go ahead.
Well, it should be. At least Jean will think it's friendly, I think.
Okay.
To include the exceptions
yes.
as outlined in Jean's discussion. I don't know whether you want me to try to read them back or just to go with.
No, no, those are friendly.
I agree
okay.
with that.
They're friendly.
Artist agrees. Okay, Judy?
Is there a, do we have an on-site a separate fee for registration?
I thought I was, sorry. Is there a separate on-site fee? Is it now 20 as opposed
no,
to?
No.
It's 15,
it's
whether 15 it's on-site?
Across the board. Yeah.
Across the board. And it'd be, you wouldn't have a separate on-site?
No.
No.
Okay.
Unless you'd like one.
Judy,
I mean, we're
I was just asking.
Yeah, and
it's
that's
a good
totally
question.
Fine. It's a great question.
But right now, I think to enforce the exceptions, which I don't believe are going to come up too often, it's going to take a little while just to get that, accounting-wise, get that all set up.
Right, but that was a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Any more discussion on that? Okay. All those in favor of the motion with the very friendly amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The item regarding event conflicts was basically... And Jean, if you wish to step in, please do so. Wanting to have it as policy, because this is something we've always practiced, but we wanted to make it policy by the board that we would not have... other activities other than the general, other than the exhibit hall, conflict with general session times and, you know, things like that. So I don't know if Jean, you wish to.
Yeah.
Go
what,
ahead.
What we're trying to do is during the general sessions, the CCB business sessions, and the meeting of the CCB's standing committees and ad hoc committees, that nothing else would occur, social events or anything that would conflict with those. The idea is that we need to be certain that we have people who are appointed to those committees to be able to be present. And this was something we're also having, and this is kind of straying a little bit, but we're not too certain. We're having some challenges right now with the hotels, and we may find this a bigger issue with our future negotiations of putting of the organization putting on its own hospitality room, parties, and other kind of events without actually the business having to be purchase everything through the hotels. And this is so we're that's a side thing, but it's just we're having some challenges there. And right now we don't. It's the most important thing right now is be certain that we can have as many people as possible participate in our business and general sessions and our standing committees, all the best things for the organization, and have and not have things that may take people away from those activities. Is that did that make sense, Don?
Yes. Any other questions?
Madam President.
Jeff, and then Peter.
I hate to throw a monkey wrench into this, Gene,
But
no, you don't. Just do it.
Well, in this case, I do, because we've been trying to deal with this. But the part about standing committees doesn't totally work. Number one, we have resolutions, of course, and nominating committee, which is opposite hospitality. And number two, we have the welcome party that I assume we're going to at least have one or two more times, and that's really opposite technology to some degree, which is a standing, well, it's not a, it's a committee in the, at least it's ad hoc. I don't know if you'd say it's standing or not, but we have sort of, so there's some problems with the way we apply this if you're applying it to committees. I totally agree with what we're trying to do with respect to the board, I mean with the general sessions and all that, but it's the committee part that's troubling me a little.
So what you're wishing to do, it sounds like, is make a motion excluding the committee component.
Well, unless Gene has a way to limit what we're trying to do, I'm not.
Well,
I'm open to listening.
Well, we the board has passed.
Okay.
Already made a passed some time ago. That nothing is to conflict with the general sessions or business sessions. So if that's your desire, we've already accomplished that. But the thing what we haven't dealt with is during when the basically immediately after the Friday afternoon and Saturday afternoon general sessions, where most of the committees are meeting, not to have something competing with them.
Okay, so are you...
Like government affairs, for instance.
I'm sorry. Madam President,
yes, go ahead.
Then if you're limiting it to Friday and I'm sorry, maybe that's the deal. The Friday and Saturday 4:15 to you know 5:30 or whatever time. Mm-hmm. If that's the limitation, then that gets to my problem. Then I'm fine with that.
Okay. Peter? And then Judy after Peter.
Madam President, why don't you talk to Judy? Take Judy's question, because I have a related convention. I'd like to propose another motion for the Board of Directors regarding conventions to consider at this time.
Okay.
I mean, during our meeting tonight.
Judy.
I'm wonder why we need a... Gene, could you explain why we need a motion at all, since this is our policy, in essence?
It's actually not... hasn't been formalized policy, and I think that's why the convention committee and Gene jump in, but that's why the convention committee has, you know, brought it to the board.
The general sessions that we have control over, but the others, I think out of fairness to all the different groups and so forth, that we need to, if we take a position, then it is put into the event planning materials. So up front they note it when that is some time period also that we would prefer not having anything being scheduled.
Did that answer your question, Judy?
I guess so. I'm just thinking we don't want to restrict what the subcommittee can still work on in terms of working out what we do with our 4 days. I'd like to not tie the hands of the committee in, you know, coming up with innovative proposals.
Okay. Since Peter has another motion, I will go ahead and take Linda if you're speaking specifically to this.
Yeah.
Okay. And Judy, do you...
Oh, the mic. I'm passing it along to Linda.
Because your wire is long.
I completely concur with what Judy said. I think it's premature to lock this in. I think this can be part of the final package that occurs in the fall.
Well, how about as a compromise, at least right now, we got two more conference conventions, which will be
following, you know, the structure we have right now. And what if we just add something that would apply to that, and that would help us in our planning, and then that would, and then we can have more opportunities this whole summer to talk about this and come up with ideas. And again, none of us want to totally come up with the answer and everything. We don't want to micromanage or anticipate down the road everything too. We want the latitude to come up with new ideas too. But what if we just do for the next two conventions that we are have contracts with, of doing just as what Jeff was suggesting, that after Friday and Saturday and Friday afternoons, that it's reserved for these committees to meet, and nothing else competing with them right now.
We don't have a motion on the floor.
No. I know, I'm just suggesting.
Okay, Jeff just made the motion. Do we have a second?
Can you repeat the motion, please?
Yeah. Restate it, Jeff.
You moved toward a microphone so that you could move, yes. Jeff, move to the mic so you can move.
Sorry about that. I move that no other convention events be allowed to be scheduled during the time slots on Friday and Saturday afternoons from 4:15 to 5:30, and that this motion is only limited to the next two conventions. Well, that's already policy.
Session.
That's
already
so we don't need
policy.
To do that.
It's kind of, yeah. Okay, Artis seconded. Do we have any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Madam President?
Yes.
Just, this is, I'd like to, I've gotten some calls and concerns, and I just want to reassure everyone that Conference Direct and the organizers of the conventions, when we are going out and entertaining bids, like you've heard already, we try to avoid any religious holidays. And also, if we know of some other major conference or convention, we try to avoid not running into those, but also, like we've done at times where I contacted the National Federation of Blind in California to see we weren't going to conflict with their scheduled times. But you have to understand that it may occur, because sometimes we're planning these years ahead, and sometimes the groups, other groups, don't even know what their dates they're going to have.
Right.
So sometimes we've come up with our dates before they have. So just, I'm not asking for any policy or anything. I just want to reassure everyone that we are making every effort not to conflict with other groups or the religious holidays. Thank you.
Peter.
Yes. As co-chair of the exhibit room, I would like to propose the following motion for the next two conventions. Basically, I propose that the exhibit room would be open to the public between the hours on Friday from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., with a cleanup time for exhibitors between 4:30 and 5 on Friday, and that the exhibit room be open on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
A second.
Okay. Peter made the motion. Judy seconds. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Yes.
Motion. Okay. Robert abstains?
Yes.
Okay. You threw me. I'm not used to abstentions. That's all right. Okay. It is allowed, yes. Okay. Motion carries. Thank you very, very much. And again, you know, we will be having calls. Everybody's welcome to join and watch the connection for the next announcement. Okay, I would like to give the microphone over to our Publications Committee Chair, Linda Perel. It was the spring. Artists combined them.
Okay, so the item C was just
It was the, yeah. That's all right. Get him, Judy, get him. Okay, we will give the microphone over to Linda, and let me reach.
Until the wire's not, there we go. She made a braid out of that wire, and I had to turn. No, sure. Okay. I've never read a full report before, so I'm very nervous, and I really do hope people will be patient. Okay. First of all, I'm the new chair of the publications committee. We had two regular committee meetings between the fall and spring convention, one in January, one in March. We also formed a subcommittee for production of the Blind Californian. That committee met in early February. The committee includes myself, Judy Wilkinson, our editor, Lynn Laird, Roger Peterson, Donna Pomerantz, and Ed Branch, with Greg Fowler, Vita Zavali having been added a little later to that group. And with the assistance of the Technical Operations Group, we've established two listservs, one for the entire Publications Committee and one for the Production Subcommittee, and both of those have assisted us a great deal in staying in better touch. People seem quite pleased with that. Okay, so now I'm going to give you some highlights from the committee meetings. First, the
Ed is whispering in my ear.
Oh, Ed. Oh. All right, Ed can interrupt, no one else. Okay. Okay. On the January 28th meeting, we discussed the status of our existing supply of brochures in the office. We will need some volunteer assistance to give us a current tally of what material is there. We're talking mostly about Failing Sight and the Family Plight in all the three languages that's available. And there hasn't, Ed informed me there hasn't been a lot of call for those lately, but we still have them. We'd like to get them out into the public. So we need somebody to count them for us. Process of our latest ebook project. This is called Having a Happy Life Despite Vision Loss in Later Years. And this is being spearheaded wonderfully by our Publications Committee member, Bonnie Rennie. And at this time, we are considering some artwork for the ebook. And Bonnie is also speaking with social workers. And I should have put social workers in the field, not any old social workers, about the impact of vision loss on spouses and partners. So, let's see. In response to a concern about people reading our publications online, reading our publications online for free, Donna Pomerantz reiterated the CCB policy that any publication that costs CCB to produce will not be distributed for free. But of course, we want to encourage people to read it online when they come across it. On February 4th, the new subcommittee for the BC production met. We created a new timeline for production of the BC, which will begin on the 15th of the month, so 6 weeks before the publication date. That's when submissions will be due. Each production team member will alert the subcommittee when their portion of the work is complete, all formats will continue to be mailed or posted on the same date. Ideally, and of course we have concerns about that. Some of us have different points of view on that, so that's a matter for ongoing consideration. And on March 13th, we were joined at our meeting by Vita Zavali, the chair of the Technical Operations Group, and this was a very productive meeting. Suggestions were made regarding having the failing site and the family plight as a downloadable Word document file, and placing anchors in a PDF version of the BC for easier reading online. Since then, I've learned from Vita that we do have the failing site in a Word document, and that that can be posted on the website, so that is great news. Vita also noted that a counter has been added on the Mutstrut page, and this is to count how many hits we get on that page, how many people come to it. And we hope to have one on all our pages relatively soon. Vita suggested that the PC refers to Publications Committee, not political correct. So, okay. Vita suggested that the PC should take on the work of verifying and updating content on the following pages on our site. And for any of you who have been at this meeting, some of the things I'm going to say are just refrains that we've said over and over again over the years under different committee chairs and with different with a different focus, but we're bringing it up again, and this time, believe us, we really want to do it. So we want to update the work on the site, the About Us page, the Support Us page, the Hall of Fame page, the resource page in particular, and we even talked about the president's message, which our president is going to happily update for us. I know she will. We also revisited the idea of a members-only section of which would be frequently updated content from our chapters and special interest affiliates. It was noted that frequently updated content improves what's called search engine optimization ratings. If you update your site frequently, you score better on Google when people are looking for sites. So that's a plus. Our committee would be very interested in collaborating with the membership committee on the creation of the members-only section of the website. In addition, we would be very interested in consulting with the Conference and Convention Committee. Regarding standards for content in both the pre-registration brochure and the conference and convention program. Now I want to discuss BC formats, in particular the increasing scarcity and eventual disappearance of audio cassettes as an option. So this is a topic that has come up before. In fact, in the June of 2010, there was a board resolution to research DAISY formats for use with NLS players. feasibility and cost. So it was proposed that we do research on that. The research was not carried out at that time. Let me talk for a second about additional audio alternatives that we might consider. They include an MP3 version online, a CD, compact disc version. CDs will follow cassettes into oblivion, but not quite as quickly. And the NFB Newsline, which RBC already appears on the NFB Newsline, and I know there are people who do actually listen to it on the telephone. And so I'm respectfully recommending that the board appoint a working group to fully explore these options and present and report back to the board at the fall convention with recommendations. This is respectfully submitted by me, Linda Porrell. And now, if I may, I would like to read the formats, Braille Californian formats and expenses from the issues starting with winter 2012 and ending with spring 2013. And I'm going to see who's still awake, so we're going to have a little quiz. Okay, two questions. Number one, there is one figure that occurs regularly in what I'm going to say. And when I'm done reading it, if you can identify that one figure that occurs regularly and that never changes, that's one answer. And the second question is, what is the difference in the number of total copies between winter 2012 and spring 2013? There was a decrease, I'll tell you that much, and I want to know by how many. So you're going to have to listen all the way through to tell me the answers. Okay, winter 2012, Braille copies, 160, expenses, $780.80, large print, 480. Large print expenses, $1,566.60. And these are broken down, the large print. The printing cost is $1,461.60. And the page formatting cost was $105 even. The tape copies, 274. The tape cost $173.66. The diskette copies, 45, and that cost was $25. And that is the only time that particular item appears, because we discontinued diskettes at that point. So total copies, 959. Total, remember that number now. Total copies, 959. And the total expenses was $2,546.06. Moving on to spring 2012, Braille, 165. Cost, $805.20. Large print, $465. Cost, $1,565.93. Should I indicate the format and printing costs for each one of those? It tends to be printing 14/15/93, formatting $150. Interesting. The format is more expensive sometimes than others. I'm sorry?
It takes longer at times.
Yeah, it does take longer. Okay. Tape copies, $276, and the cost, $173.66. Total copies, 906. Total cost, $2,544.79. Excuse me, summer 2012. Braille copies, 165. Cost, $805.20. Large print, 460 copies. Total cost, $1,488.20, with the printing at $1,400.70, and the page formatting at $87.50. Tape, $268. Cost, $173.66. Total copies, 893. Total expense, $2,467.06. Fall 2012, Braille, 165. Expense, $1,404.25. Large print, 450. Cost, $1,415.78. Boy, I'm slipping into my Boston accent here for anybody who's really listening. Okay. Printing for that issue was $1,345.78, and page formatting was $70 even. Tape, $264. Cost, $173.66. Total copies, 879. Total cost, $2,993.69. Annual 2012 expenses by format, Braille, $3,795.45. Large print, $6,036.51. Printing was $5,624.01. And formatting was $412.50. Tape, $694.64. 2012 annual total expenses, all formats, $10,551.60. So now we move into 2013. We got two more issues to go. Winter 2013, Braille copies, 160. Expense, $1,362.68. Is everybody okay? Oh, good. Okay, good. Large print copies, 435. Large print costs, $1,370.92. The printing was $1,300.92, and the formatting was $70. We're closing in on the end here. Tape copies, 262. cost $173.66. Total copies 857. Total expenses $2,907.26. Now the final issue, spring 2013, Braille copies 155. Braille expense $1,322.59. Large print 440 copies. The printing was $1,318.90. The formatting was $70. Tape copies 257. Tape expense $173.66. Total copies 852. Total expenses $2,885.15. So the 2013 expenses by format through the spring issue, Braille $2,685.27, large print $2,759.82, with the printing being $2,619.82, and the page formatting being $140. Tape, $347.32. All right, 2012. This should be 2013. Sorry, 2013 total expenses, all formats through spring issues, $5,792.41. So, anybody want to give me an answer?
$173.66.
Call it, that treasurer is going to know that. We have an explanation for that, which Ed gave me. He bought a parcel of tapes, and he spreads the cost out per issue, and that's what it comes to each issue, and the similar numbers of tapes that are produced, but that over time. And we have given Ed the go-ahead to get enough tapes to last through the next two issues of to get through this year, we need to come up with a recommendation in the fall for how to proceed after that. So anybody got a figure on what's the decrease was?
107.
Very good. 107 less from the, yes. Yeah.
Whenever you're ready for questions, I'd
like to
state something.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question.
Madam President.
Okay. But am I ready?
We're fighting for the microphone right
here.
When you're ready, Madam Chair.
It is a little bit tedious to read through all these things, but it is very, very instructive on where our money is going and what we're doing. The BC is very important to us, but it is an expense, and we need to look at all aspects of it as well. So that is my report.
Madam President.
Okay. Actually, I get to go first. And what I'd like to say, because I was wrestling Linda for the mic, I also would like to let you know that we do have a number of members who will take the BC from the website, who are subscribed to the BC listserv, we do have numbers as well who receive it online through our web environment. I'd also like to let folks know that the cassette version is also the wonderful audio that we have has been read through the generosity of Learning Ally. They read the audio file for us. So that's how we receive our audio as well. And that has been a wonderful, generous gift that's been given to us for quite some time. Otherwise, expenses would be a lot higher for that audio. And Roger said something that I couldn't hear. So, and we have Mike Keithley, who creates the master and sends it to the office. So that's the other part of that. I'd like to, artists sought the floor, and then Jean, I believe, was next.
Yep.
So we could have artists. Also, I would like to ask this board, while artists is getting a mic, that I look forward to the research so that we can vote on recommendations through a base of knowledge and concrete facts that will be brought to us in the fall. So I'm looking forward to that. Artists.
Okay, I had a question. There was a statement made in your report, Linda, and also in our written one, about Donna's reiterating the fact that no publications would be, that cost money would be given out for free. Now, is that just the BC you're talking about, or is you're talking about brochures? Because some of us occasionally do booths and stuff for different out in the public, and I would hope that we wouldn't have to pay for brochures that we're trying to give out about our information. So I just wanted a clarification on that.
Excellent question. I would assume that it doesn't apply as well, but that is how the quote came to me. So I will ask Madam President to clarify. No BC publication is what we're talking about.
Correct.
So I want to go back to I wanted the board to appoint a working group to do this. So it's not going to magically appear unless you designate some folks. I would assume that I would be on the group and that Vita would be on the group, but we would love to have help.
And the board will do that at its next meeting, if that's what you wish. Although I didn't know that the board appoints working groups. Actually, it is the president that appoints working groups. I sure do. Yes. Okay, Jean sought the floor.
Yeah.
And then Jean and then Jeff.
I guess I would like some objectivity in doing the research, and that is, rather than looking for a way of eliminating the audio cassette tape, why don't we look and see what's the possibility of finding the tapes? As I hear, it's quite available at Costco and other places, these tapes. Yes, they are going to disappear, the format, just like some of these electronic formats. But it seems like our financial picture is not going to just improve by eliminating under $200 when, you know, the same argument would be, well, why don't we eliminate Braille? And I don't think any of us would want to do that. I think right now it's look for use and also look at what impact would it be for those people who are not into the computer technology that have a tape recorder and they can handle it or up in their years, and perhaps that's what works for them. So why don't we try to see some way of prolonging a use of something, a format that is easy to use for some people and don't have to incur additional costs to get new technology that may disappear in 10 years or something like that, too. So I'd like to see we
find, look, do our research, run, finding a way of eliminating the format while we see if we can continue a format and without breaking the organization financially. The other thing would be, I'd like to see some discussion take place within the Publications Committee and the Technology Group on how we can make items in a PDF format on our website, but so that they're downloadable. You can download the things.
Yes.
I've gotten complaints from people, and I found in my experience sometimes there's things that we need, like even the convention program, and you can't just download it. And it would be, if it's in a, put in a format that we can't alter it when you download it, let's make it available, especially if we have lists of resources and things. I think that will help get the word out. We're not always telling people you have to go to the website, but if they can download something and put it on their computer or burn it on a CD and still have our identification on it, then great. I just think that will be a good advertising thing rather than just limiting it to just the website. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam President.
Linda wanted to respond to that.
Jeff already has it, won't give it up. So.
Here it is.
I got it. Boy. Feisty bunch tonight. Thank you, Jean. I'm happy to keep, as the chair of the committee, I'm happy to keep the idea of finding an alternative sources of tapes in the mix of the research. I am told that our current source of tapes will cease to be able to provide us with tapes. So we will need to look high and low to find, you know, an additional source of tapes. But we can keep that in the mix of things that we investigate for our audio options, for sure.
Thank you.
Now I'm reaching to get the mic again. Okay. Jeff.
It's flowing its way.
Oh, Jeff.
Okay. I have. Let's see. Madam President, I move that the president appoint a working group to explore solutions for problems related to the scarcity of audio cassettes. Am I going too fast, Gabe?
Gabe, is he going too fast? Audio cassettes.
And that, audio cassettes. With these recommendations to be made, presented at the fall board meeting.
Do we have a second? Go ahead.
For potential implementation as early as the beginning of 2014.
Okay, we have a second from Lena.
And I'm willing to change that if the committee is, if that's not quite what the committee wants. But
okay, Judy seeks the floor.
It sounds, Jeff, like you're only asking the committee to investigate the availability of tapes. So could,
if I can, basically the recommendation, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, was to investigate all the other formats, and I think that Jeff is making that motion because the Publications Committee was wanting to eliminate cassettes.
So what exactly, Madam Chairman, is the motion?
What Jeff just said was basically which was basically to keep cassettes in the mix as far as the research. Sorry, I'm tired. Gabe, read it. But that was the summary. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I apologize.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was, anyway. Go ahead, Gabe, read it.
Yeah, it was having to find the beginning of it 3 pages back and get a microphone.
Oh, no. Folks, don't leave. I have cash, okay?
She will bribe you to stay. All right. Jeff moved that the president appoint a working group to explore solutions for problems related to the scarcity of audio cassettes, with the recommendations to be made at the fall pre-convention board meeting for potential implementation as early as the beginning of 2014. Did I get that right?
You did, and so I Judy was correct in that motion is specific only to cassettes. This board will also have to.
Well, I was going to say, Madam President, since I've got a mic, can I speak to it?
People are threatening Jeff now up here. So,
well.
Go ahead, Jeff. I mean, Gabe.
Wow.
Sorry.
Jeff. I'm not sure how to take that.
Go ahead.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Go ahead.
So, I think that motion could be taken a couple of ways, or it might need rewording a little bit if it's not the way Jeff intended it. But, you know, it's due to the scarcity of cassettes, so it could be taken to investigate new sources of cassettes, or it could be taken as there's a scarcity of cassettes, so we need to find an alternative. But before we get into too much more discussion that I'm guilty of, I'll go ahead and second it for purposes of discussion. Or was it second?
It was already.
Okay.
Yes.
I missed the second, I guess, because I was trying to write.
Okay. I hear Lena, although Jeff, did you want to do a wordsmith before? Or do we have Lena?
Unless Lena wants
go ahead, Lena. Lena's gonna give it a shot.
Well,
go ahead.
First of all, I think the term you used was solutions to the problem, so that could be. I feel like that's an open word. I mean, we could add various to it and put various solutions to the problem of scarcity. Because, like Gabe said, it's basically saying, the problem is the scarcity, let's find solutions, plural, which he said. And I would, just put various, and I think it solves the problem.
Madam President.
Gene. And I don't want to speak for Linda, but as much as I'm thrilled about this motion, I think that Linda was wanting just more than just the tapes. It was the whole to be allowed to go do research on all formats, including
agree.
The cassettes being in the mix. So I think that's what needs
all
to
formats.
Be adjusted. And again, I apologize, Linda, for speaking on your behalf.
So that's now the motion? Are you somebody making a friendly amendment? Jeff, are you?
So Gene, are you being friendly? Do you want to make a friendly amendment?
I don't know how to phrase it, but I believe Linda was asking for more than that.
Okay.
Linda?
Give Linda your mic, please.
Here you go.
It's facing the wrong way. I better not fire it. Okay. To explore, in response to the increasing scarcity of availability of audio cassettes, we are to explore all options, reasonable or God, I'm losing it now, for providing, audio. I take it back. Let someone else say it. I'm wicked tired. Yeah, let Judy.
Okay, Judy is going to try. Have at it.
We're going to forget having the motivating factor be the scarcity of cassettes. So the motion, as I would suggest it to Jeff, is we want to explore all formats, once again, for presenting the BC for the purposes of saving cost. And included in that are all formats. Oh, all audio formats.
Not the Braille.
All formats.
So you're saying all audio only now? Is that what?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm okay. Saying all formats. Take out the to save costs because I hear objections to that. I would suggest we have the motion B. Let's explore and bring back to the committee recommendations and clear cost amounts for all formats.
Makes sense to me. No? Yes?
Nobody's seconding?
I'm hearing Jeff go, I don't know, blah, blah, blah.
All right.
I should have set the timer, you know, debate 20 minutes. Oy.
Or ask a question. I guess I'm not sure if it's a friendly amendment because the whole thrust of where we were trying to go was to deal with the audio format problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's more friendly to leave this to deal with that issue for now. Otherwise, you have a very different set of parameters and people you need to appoint and things like that. If the board feels otherwise, I'm fine. But I'd be more content to leave this as an audio format work group and deal with that issue. And then we can work on the other issues after that.
Everybody who has... okay, you agree? So it's friendly to artists. Okay.
Madam President?
Gabe?
I think I might have a discussion, but did we end up friendly amending it? Because I got a little bit confused in the discussion, and I'm not sure what motion I should have written down here. Are we still on the merits of Jeff's original motion, or are we trying to reword Judy's redone motion?
What Jeff was saying is that he wants to reword it to keep it specific to audio. Is that?
To appoint a working group to look at the production of the BC in all audio, to look at possible production, or look at the production of the BC through the use of audio formats. Is that general enough? I'm trying to. Options for producing the BC in audio formats.
Okay, so that's the charge of the group first. You would like that to be researched first and those recommendations to come before the board in the fall?
Yes.
Okay, before the others are done.
Is it still, okay. Explore solutions for production of all audio formats, and are we keeping the part about reporting in the fall for implementation in 2014?
Yes.
Okay.
For just, this specific.
You don't need the word, just the production BC in audio formats.
I think I did. Yeah, okay, yeah I did. You. I do have an audio format.
Okay.
I was just trying to figure out if we were keeping the rest of the stuff about presenting in the fall and implementing
yes.
in the spring.
Presenting okay. in the fall, yes. Except now the scope temporarily is smaller than the original Publications Committee recommendations, which it's fine.
What does the committee? I mean, I want to do what the committee wants. So,
Madam President, let me do this right. May I speak, or is there anybody
go
listening
ahead.
To me? I don't necessarily feel like we needed to necessarily change it, but I think by saying to explore all audio formats, to me that gets at what the committee was asking to explore formats including cassettes. As well as any alternatives that might be more obtainable.
And so you have that written down, right?
In the process of it. Okay. I have the thing about explore audio formats, and mm-hmm. I'm trying to redo the part about when to present and when to implement.
Perfect. Okay, and Artis agrees. Do we have any more discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Abstentions? Okay, motion carries.
Was that one no vote?
Yes, one no vote. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. You survived your first report. Thank you.
Do we have a motion?
Do we need to move to adopt her report?
Well, that's why they made the motion to...
No, we need to
oh, okay. Did you give us
the
other?
Report. Are we accepting or?
Oh, don't go there. No.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Sorry. So,
Madam President.
Quick question before we move to adopt the report. The last part of your report, did that give another specific recommendation other than what was motioned right now? No. Okay. All right. So do we have a motion to adopt the report of the Publications Committee?
So moved.
Okay. So the first mover over there and Peter seconded? Okay. Second mover. All right. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the Technical Operations Group report.
Good evening, everyone. This
Thank
is Vita
you,
Zavali. Before I go with my formal report, Madam Chair, may I answer a question that Jean asked that was pretty related to the technical operations group, or can I do that later?
Okay, Jean says to go ahead, so
okay.
Even though I'm not sure of the order, go ahead.
I'm not either. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Jean asked about PDF items that can be downloaded. The BC is provided in PDF online.
Yeah.
That can be downloaded.
Yeah.
The other items, such as the program or the California Connection, at this point, they're being emailed, which is the other format. Now, those can be easily put into download format. So please write to webmaster@ccbnet.org, and I can get that approved. Does that answer your question, Jean?
Microphone.
Thank you. I'd like for the website to be usable like a lot of other websites where you can download things that you see there and have that. You don't have to keep on going back to the website. And I've just heard and negative things from people saying, you know, they were discouraged to hear they read something, they wanted to download it, couldn't download it, and therefore moved on, like here was a resource that they could have used. And I just feel it's a mistake that we don't find a way of doing it. I mean, I think if we published even our resolutions and locked it in so that you can't change it or anything like that, but that somebody can download it, at least it's a resource. So I'm just feeling that and search capability would be real improvements for the website. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm going to take a quick personal privilege. The Technical Operations Group is working toward a number of things. The first step of many wonderful steps is the downloadable PDF of the BC. I expect more wonderful things to come from the TOG. It takes a lot of time for them to do what they're doing, and the TOG still is a volunteer group. If this board is prepared to allocate physical dollars and cents to hire a webmaster, then, you know, please do what needs to be done. But I think that we need to recognize that this very hardworking group of people under its new chair is a volunteer group, and I see the downloadable BC PDF as a wonderful step toward the future. And I'll leave it at that. Madam Chair, it's all yours.
Okay. One other thing, Jean, just please, if you hear any comments about the website, please recommend that they write to webmastersucbnet.org. I read every one of those messages and respond to them, and we are definitely doing our best to keep up with that.
Yes.
And okay.
No, just and I know that's fine. I'm willing to do that, and but I was not implying that anyone was not doing their job. That's. And I don't want, I get the impression people think I'm thinking you're not doing anything.
Oh, no, I don't think that at all. I absolutely do not think that.
No.
Absolutely. I'm just giving a recommendation because I'm one of those people who have to solve problems. That's just me.
And it was a clarification to those who don't know that our group is still a volunteer group.
Yeah.
So it's not a criticism. Go ahead, Madam Chair.
Okay. I'm not going to read this report in its entirety. I'm going to just outline some of the items in here that I think are important. First of all, the TOG is comprised of 8 members at this time. And just recently, we brought on a proofreader, so that's very exciting for us. So the look of the website should change. On an ongoing basis, we put up the California Connection every Friday. We answer webmaster inquiries. And create a downloadable format of the BC when the magazine is released. Some board members had asked us to give the numbers of subscriptions of specific CCB listservs and announce-only lists, and I want to give those because I think the members would be interested in these as well. California Council of the Blind list CCB-L. We currently have 94 subscriptions. I'm sorry, this is as of March 25th, 2013. The CCB President's List is 61 subscribers. The Blind Californian is 294 subscribers. And the California Connection is 177 subscribers. This is a list of projects completed for this quarter. And this includes updating the chapter and affiliate web pages. And I need to tell you that some of these were extremely old, extremely old. So if you look at the website as of next week, all of the affiliate and chapter information should be updated according to officers' sheets that were sent to us. We've updated all of the CCB committees. Updated the board page. We posted the scholarship letter and application for 2013. We put up the MudStrut pages, both the statewide and regional pages, and the registration forms are now up there. The audio files for the fall 2012 convention are up. What's different about this one is that the new files... We not only have the full general sessions of the convention, but we have divided it into individual files so you can listen to presentations separately. Thank you. Exciting. It's more work, but it's also exciting. We added analytics. Linda just touched on this, which is a way to determine how many people come to visit our pages. Currently, we've implemented that on the MutStrut pages. But we do plan to do some more work with analytics. We added 7 new listservs. I'm not going to go into them in detail, but it's exciting that people are asking for listservs. We've compiled all of the passwords, the TOG. We finally compiled those, and they're going to be stored in 2 separate locations in the state. Therefore, if we all go in the water, I guess even the passwords will be gone. Okay, so I suppose we could send one to Maine, right? Okay. We posted the conference and convention program announcement. We've And we've provided one-on-one listserv training to new list moderators. And that's about, we usually, that's about an hour of time that I spend with the moderators. So I think that's been working out quite well. The projects listed below are currently in progress. This is, we're now starting to place pictures on the websites with descriptions, which I know not everybody is going to love, but it is exciting to the sighted people visiting our website, especially those pretty dog pictures from the Muttstrat. Yeah. Right? We got to put Avalon up there.
Of course.
We're soon going to be putting out a message once a week on what's happening with CCB, both on Facebook and Twitter, finally coming into the century. We have created an outline for listserv moderator training, and this is going to be held a few times a year. And we're considering providing trainings by teleconference and then placing the sessions online as well so people, new moderators, can listen to them or review them. We're updating information. I'm sorry, I'm skipping some of these because... Okay, we're assisting the CCB office to look for an accessible conversion program, PDF materials to Word documents. We know that's not an easy process. We're also testing the software for Square Up, the application, this is to accept credit cards at the Muttstrat. But we want to make sure it's accessible so blind users can actually accept the credit cards. We're experimenting with ways to make our website more visually appealing and give some visual preferences to visitors, such as adjusting the text size and font types. Okay. And then we're working with some committees, asking them to please look at their portions of the website to update it, send us that information so we can get that going. Our future plans include, and I do realize that we are an ambitious group with ambitious goals, but I do believe they are possible. We want to move our website from the ACB server to a hosting site called HostGator. We will then upgrade to a new platform called Drupal. I suppose it's not new, the Drupal platform. This will give us additional options with software. I'm not going to go into detail with that. So I will talk about this a little more in the end because I'm going to need to amend this proposal. So... as a part on this new website, one of the things we really want to do is to develop this member section that Linda had talked about. Now, we have already created a test site for this area, which so the TOG is starting to do some testing already, and at some point when we really get this going, we'll invite others. And suggestions, we're looking at... we want to be able to set up a member section so that items such as CCB forms, like the credentials forms or the annual chapter, fundraising reports, the officer sheets, will be behind a shield that people will need to log into to access. Along with this, we want to be able to have chapters and affiliates and members at large pay their dues online, register for conferences online, create blogs, and a host of other items that, as Jean said, would finally bring our website up to date. And I agree with you 100%. And then the last item on here... was that we want to, at some point, hopefully this year, just review with the CCB office what their emergency plan is in case of disasters. Mm-hmm. So I want to go back to the first item here. I'm going to need to amend, and this may require me to write a proposal to the board. What I said in moving to our new website, I requested, let me restart. At the end, toward the end of this year, I can't remember if it's September or October, our plan on the HostGator website will terminate. So we can either apply for one more year, subscribe for another year, or we can subscribe to a three-year plan, which will save us more money. And I think that's what we originally had, was a three-year plan. Now, the plan itself is what I need to amend here, because the figures I gave you are not correct. They were what was on the website based on new members, 20% off, blah, 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 and that was not us. So what we currently have is a plan that allows us to have one website. I'm sorry, I'm just finding this in my records here. Plan unlimited. Okay, so well, it would right now we have one domain. We have this will give us unlimited disk space and bandwidth and a shared SSL certificate. I don't want to get too techy, but the shared SSL certificate would not allow us to go ahead with these plans to be able to do our forms online and exchange money online in a secure fashion. In order to do that, we need a dedicated IP address. So this would put us up to what is called the business plan. The business plan would give us the unlimited domains, unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and a secure SSL. And what that really means is from our site to the CCB office, we would the information would not go through other servers and therefore possibly get in the wrong hands so forth. So I have to strongly suggest that we do a dedicated SSL. So money, because I know that's what it really comes down to. Did I lose the mic? Okay. This is what it really comes down to. The business plan is actually $12.95 a month, which doesn't sound like a lot, but in 3 years, it is $466.20.
$466.20.
Okay, over a three-year period to be paid?
No, it needs to be paid all at once.
All at once,
in
right.
In the fall.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, it's really not bad for what you get. This is the business plan is a very secure plan. And I, like I said, the group is very ambitious, and we really do want to create a wonderful member section that people will be happy to visit our website and invite people from outside as well. You know, we really want to encourage people to visit the website, but we need something for them to look at. We need some blogs up there. We need to post what chapters and affiliates are doing. We need to get all this information out there. And truthfully, if you give people the option to pay their dues online, fill out all of their chapter forms online, I think you're gonna find that these things will come in faster to the office than, you know. One other item I think I wanted to talk about. So my request to the board, and you can tell me, Madam President, if I need to write this up, is to please to authorize $466 at the time that our current plan terminates, in order that we could have 3 years. We do plan to, as soon as that is paid, we do plan to switch our current website over to the new hosted site, because it's going to allow us immediately to begin working on something like a member section. And one of the other important things I did put in the report, and I forgot to mention here, is that we are going to do a survey. We're in the process of writing this up. We're probably going to put it through the California Connection, so, and you'll have a way to phone in your answers or email your answers, requesting, seeing what the membership wants. What do they want in a member section? And getting everyone's ideas, compiling those ideas, and I'd like to bring those to the board in the fall.
So
I think that,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. And then
I think that completes my report.
Okay. So we'll do artists, then Peter. Peter actually called for it first, and then Judy. Artists.
My phone's right here.
Oh, okay.
You know, Jeff's got that mic. You won't let it go.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the expenditure for the new website hosting.